Yo te lo digo, morena, que yo sí tengo sabor, pero eso que me hiciste no tiene perdón de Dios. Te fuiste y me dejaste con un tremendo rollo, pero sabes tú, mi nena, que tengo sabor a pollo. Ah, la, la, la.
Cambia tu mecánica.
Yo te lo digo, cosa buena, no te puedo querer.
Cambia tu mecánica.
Porque si sigo con
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934. And certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Now, before we get to today's Pathways interview, I want to take a moment to thank everyone who's already supported our Catalog of Connections year-end fundraising. If you haven't yet, please visit kboo.fm and click on the donate button. This is the last week of our drive, so please give now if you can. Any amount is greatly appreciated, and your contribution is vital to operations here at KBOO. We literally cannot do it without you. KBOO is community-supported radio, bringing you the grassroots, independent, and one-of-a-kind voices, like our guest today, from your community and beyond. So please show your support. Thank you. For centuries, women have fought for greater opportunity to make their own choices, build independent lives, craft powerful careers, and exercise their own agency. Interestingly, our guest today asks if perhaps this has been the wrong approach. Maybe women remain unsatisfied and overwhelmed because they've been following the trajectory laid out by men and emulating what men identify as desirable. The book we're discussing today offers an alternative path for women and for anyone who wants to focus more on the feminine than the masculine, allowing us to manifest connection, communion, and compassion. Our guest today is Alana Cavaglia, PhD, author of The Way of the Satisfied Woman, Reclaiming Feminine Power. Alana is a best-selling author, spiritual leader, and expert on mythology, spirituality, and psychology. Her global network has more than 30,000 members, and she is host of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, originally launched in 2005. She earned a doctorate in mythological studies with an emphasis in depth psychology from Pacifica Graduate Institute and is a former board member of the Carl Jung Foundation. She lives in Southern California. Hello, Alana, and welcome to the Pathways Show.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
Now, this is a book about unraveling patriarchy's influence on women. And as far as I could tell, it's a book written for women, but I got a lot out of it. But I also question some of it. So we should have an interesting conversation. So why don't we start by asking you to define patriarchy?
Yeah, I mean, well, how much time do we have? Patriarchy is the culture that we live in. And, you know, this isn't anything that I write about or talk about or discuss, it's not a condemnation of patriarchy or patriarchal values or masculinity or anything like that. So to just begin there. But for the last, it's difficult to put a timeline on it, but definitely in the last 2,500 years and potentially even up to the last 8,000 years, our society has developed as a patriarchal society, which just means that it centers the masculine and prioritizes masculine values over the feminine. And in a patriarchal culture, and indeed really in any culture that defines one over another, there is a hierarchy. There is a prioritization. And anytime a hierarchy or a prioritization occurs, it means that others are deprioritized or left behind. And in a patriarchal society, which is the one we live in, the feminine and women are the ones who are deprioritized and left behind. Not the only ones, but we are the ones who are deprioritized and left behind, which means in order for us to succeed, in order for us to try and maneuver through this particular culture that we just simply exist in, what we've done so far is to try to play by the patriarchy's rules, because they are the rules that we were raised under. And right. So what I ask in the book is, do we have to? You know, is there another way? Can right. we maneuver and get our own needs met in a better way than by the patriarchal rules? And I believe the answer is yes.
I really appreciate that you said it's not only women that have been subjugated, because, well, in my opinion, patriarchy is characterized by the domination of the 1% since the beginning of the agricultural revolution and settling down from the hunter-gatherer type of life that we had for over a million years, and the invention of private property. So I would say 99% of males have been subjugated by the 1%, which obviously advantages the males who are the 1%. But I appreciate you recognizing that, because I have a lot of empathy for my fellow men who have been cannon fodder and you know, slaves to the 1% for the last 5 or 6,000 years, for sure.
Well, you know, patriarchy, the culture prioritizes power, and yeah, it's not power right. with, it's power over. So there right. really is this clamoring of one over another to try and gain more power to the detriment of anyone else. And, you know, we can talk about men and women, but we can also talk about the masculine and feminine, which are yeah. psychological energies. And those exist in every human. So any right. human has both masculine and feminine within them. Right. And the culture yeah. will tell us as people, as individuals, that what is more valuable within us are not only the masculine traits, but what I would say skewed or distorted version of those masculine traits, which emphasize hierarchy, power, linearity, you know, the kind of the blinders on perspective, which, and that's not all that masculinity is either. Masculinity right. is precious and valuable as femininity, but the patriarchal culture has skewed some of those values in such a way that we do find the challenges that we live in today.
Absolutely. I would characterize the problem as the domination by the immature masculine.
yes, you know, sometimes. Okay, too. yeah.
And, you know, it's,
okay.
I was just going to say the agricultural revolution just changed everything. And one of the primary inventions that came about was the invention of private property, which never existed okay. before. And women. Private property needed to be divvied up, and it needed to be protected, and women were demoted to the status of property, and it's a horrific thing. And okay, let's talk about feminism. You know, it seems like feminism is evolving, and I want to know how you see that, and how do you define your term of the feminine woman these days?
Yeah. So, you know, growing up as a woman in this culture, which again, the dominant paradigm is patriarchal, you know, I was raised by a single mother who was very powerful and very much on the kind of the narrative that many women are, that of course we can be anything, do anything, have anything we want. But there's this internal recognition that in order to do that, number one, we have to work harder than everybody else. And number two, we have to be, do, have, and want and act in such a way that the patriarchy tells us is okay. Or we have to behave in a very masculine way to basically compete with the boys, right, on this playing field. So, you know, femininity, as I've grown up with it and as I've learned it, has really been fighting for equality, but on a man's terms or on masculine terms.
Right.
And I lived through that. You know, I was on board. I was on program. I put off relationship, family in order to pursue the career at an early age. I fought my way up the ladder. I created my own business. I was an entrepreneur. I was very successful by masculine and patriarchal terms, but I actually wasn't happy. Because what I've discovered and what I've written about in the book is that the feminine has different terms, and no one's really outlined that or talked about it. We've all just assumed that there's one way to be successful, that there's one way to be happy, that there's one way to tick the boxes of life in this culture, and that's based on what we've been taught by the masculine values of the patriarchy. And no one said, hang on a second, what are the feminine values? What would feminine values look like? What would happiness and success and satisfaction look like for feminine women? And so that's what I'm emphasizing. That's what I'm writing about. And that's what I'm actually, on some level, demanding that everyone and that women start to take a look at.
So we get into a definition of masculine and feminine, and I really appreciate that. I think that we just need to explore that a lot more deeply, and your work certainly does that. I mean, this book is very profound, and I got a lot out of it. But how does your understanding of masculine and feminine differ from Jungian psychology, which you have also studied? And I'm kind of steeped in Jungian psychology myself as an I Ching author who totally respects the receptive, et cetera. So how does your definition of masculine and feminine differ from Jung?
Honestly, I don't know that it does differ. I mean, okay. My PhD is based in depth psychology. I'm steeped in the Jungian tradition. I was a board member of the Jung Foundation. That actually, interestingly enough, I come from a yoga and spiritual background. And that was my previous career, my previous business. And so I spent 20 years studying, teaching, learning, being immersed in the field of yoga. And of course, there's a lot of talk of masculinity and femininity in yoga as well, and how to bring those two things together. I'm sure those listening who are familiar with that know about the principle of the Shiva and the Shakti coming together. And my Jungian studies brought that to life in a much more psychological way, that it doesn't have to be gendered. It doesn't have to be one-sided, that they both live within us. I mean, Carl Jung would talk about the anima and the animus, you know, that women have that psychological masculine within them that needs to be tended to, and that men have that psychological feminine that needs to be tended to. And I would say everyone has both masculine and feminine within them. And we all as individuals lean toward one or the other polarity most of the time. Even the most feminine woman will need to kind of pull her masculine forward a little bit to, let's say, get the job done, or, you know, get to the finish line quickly and directly. Those are some really powerful masculine values that are really valuable in the right time and place. The challenge is when any person, but I'll talk about the feminine woman for now, when any person embodies the wrong polarity too much of the time, and that's a huge trap for feminine women because we live in the patriarchy, because masculine values are so prominent, we think we need to don the mask of the masculine, that's what I call it, in order to put on enough bravado to face the world and get through our day and be appealing on the levels that we're supposed to be appealing, to achieve on the levels we're supposed to be able to achieve, to dominate and to succeed. Yeah. And wearing the mask of the masculine when that's not your primary polarity is unbelievably exhausting, overwhelming, draining, disorienting, and destabilizing.
Right,
for feminine women to find ways to drop that mask, you know, pulling the masculine forward when it's necessary and good and right, but then being able to downshift into their feminine most of the time, because that's where we're going to feel most nourished. And that's when we're going to feel most ourselves.
Right. So when you talk about our predisposition to lean one way or the other, how much of that do you feel is influenced by biology and differing brain structures? Because it's not all about culture. It's not all about biology either, but hormones are pretty powerful. And and we know that.
Yeah,
you know, everybody acknowledges the power of hormones when it comes to transsexuals, but I've never heard feminists, you know, acknowledge the fact that having 30 times the testosterone, which is the average healthy male, is something to have a little empathy for. So what's your take?
Testosterone is real. Hormones are real. I don't think that these things can be discounted, you know. So this is a great point. It isn't just, you know, masculine and feminine to me are energies of the psyche, but we are whole and complete human beings. We have a psyche, right. We have a body, we have a physiology, we have a spirit. All of these things come together to make us who we are. And of course, living in 2024, we know that there are many variations and iterations of these possibilities. So I'm certainly not here to say one is right or wrong or one over the other, but I do speak to feminine women, women born in a female body with all of the hormones that that comes with, who tend to bleed every month, who are capable of bearing children, because that hormonal makeup has a tremendous influence on our psyche. We change every single month psychologically because of our hormones. Now, everyone knows that. I actually just watched the season finale of Yellowstone last night. And even in the season finale of Yellowstone, they have the young teenage boy saying to his mom, "Oh, it must be that time in the month."
Wow.
So there's a ubiquitous recognition that women's psychology is going to fluctuate. Our lives are based in change in a way that biological men's lives are not. We have a very finite period of time that we can do things or not right. do things. We go through menopause. We're one of three mammals on the planet that go through menopause and live beyond our breeding years. Mm-hmm. Hormonal changes just every month create differences for us. We have to live with and be okay with a constant state of flux. And that influences us profoundly, because I remember when I was a kid, my father used to say, a woman's prerogative is to change her mind. And I ran right to the dictionary and looked up prerogative. I was like, what is prerogative? And it means basically inbuilt within a woman is her capacity to fluctuate and change her mind whenever she needs to. And that's a powerful gift of the feminine, because right. it's the feminine's ability to shift and change, and particularly change our mind, our outlook, our scope, our direction, that creates change in the world. The first one to notice that things need to shift is going to be the feminine. Feminine within anybody, but especially within the feminine woman. She's going to be uncomfortable first and speak it out to the masculine. The masculine kind of carries on. You know, they don't have this desire to, like, you know, shift all the time. They want to set a path and they want to go for it.
Right.
And the feminists will say, you know what? We need a bit of a course correction here. And the receptive masculine will value that insight, that intuition from the feminine, and help to shift the direction and then go. So yeah. These things absolutely work in confluence with each other. They work best when they are understanding and receptive to one another. But it is within the feminine and our continuously shifting biology that we get this gift of both intuition and change.
Absolutely. And I think a really enlightening book I recently read was The Female Brain by a female neuroscientist. Oh my God, it's so clear what you're saying. You know, the fluctuation, the, you know, all the phases and everything. And whereas the male is very constant, you know, it's just got to have high testosterone all the time, whereas the female is fluctuating a lot. But okay, so you are talking about femininity as at its best. This is what your book is advocating for. How would you define that? Without reading the whole book.
Yeah, right. I mean, how do I nutshell femininity as best? Well, I think the feminine woman is going to feel best. I can define it that way, right? For those of us who identify as feminine women, we're going to feel best when we are deeply tapped into the two strongest qualities of femininity, which are our intuition and our emotional depth. Okay, two things that the feminine have long been vilified for, because when these things are empowered, when they are at their strongest within the feminine women, they can become agents of change and they can be confronting to those who don't want change.
Right.
So, you know, they've been suppressed and kind of pushed down and vilified because of that. But change is necessary. Change is a part of our world. I mean, we go from spring to summer to fall. We live through it every year. And then somehow when we try to create it in our world and our family structures and our culture and our work relationships, it can be confronting. Now, let's say that it's not. And we've got the feminine woman who is fully empowered in her intuition and her emotional depth. She's going to use that, those things, those qualities as her litmus test for how things are going. A feminine woman needs to feel good, to know that her world is safe. She needs to feel supported, safe. She needs to feel cherished. And she's always going to be checking in with her intuition and her emotions to let her know that things are on the right track. She is safe. She is supported. Other strong feminine qualities that when a feminine woman is safe and supported are her creativity, which comes out in many ways. Of course, the most probably obvious womanly way is procreation. But the femininity has the gift of being able to create something from almost nothing, right? Right. Whether that be a book, whether that be a baby, whether that be a new concept, idea, business, that fire of creativity really burns within the feminine. And we're able to tap into it and create new things that have never been thought of before when we feel completely in our fullness. Another gift of is pleasure. So the feminine woman runs pleasure through her body, loves to feel pleasure. Some ways that women often feel pleasure are through movement, dancing, any kind of movement of the body. Of course, lots of ways, you know, eating, being with friends, anything that you feel pleasure. But when a woman runs that through her body, it naturally extends out to those around her. Femininity loves communion, collaboration, community. So my mom used to say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But we can extend that to women. When women feel pleasure, when women are happy, it radiates outward. So it's never a selfish project to become a fully empowered and embodied feminine woman, because as you do, you're going to be creating new things for the world around you. You're going to be running pleasure through your body out toward the world around you. You're going to be shifting the course of your community, family, social groups in order for everyone else to benefit. So it's really a powerful kind of landscape we create as a feminine woman.
Now, I sort of had a problem with you redefining the four stages of a woman's life. You know, I wondered about your argument that the lover, the maiden, the lover, the mother, and the crone. Of course, nobody likes the word the crone, but I wondered about your position that the lover and the mother are archetypes that are more in service to the masculine than the feminine. Because I know a lot of women who choose to be mothers on their own, and lovers for that matter, of their own accord.
Well, they choose now to be lovers and mothers on their own. This is a very recent evolution in our culture that's even possible. I mean, it's even within my lifetime.
Well, whether they choose it on their own or not, a lot of women love being mothers and have throughout history.
Absolutely, of course. I'm not saying that the choice to be a mother is only about the man, but a man, our friend Carl Jung, defined those archetypal figures and was looking from the perspective of his own maleness. And instead of just looking at it from the self-effulgent woman, what might she want or what might she like, you know, kind of labeled it in those ways. So that's where I took issue with it, that those have been assigned to women, not by us, but for us. And they don't necessarily reflect the fullness of what a woman can and can be and do throughout her lifetime. And they're not necessarily solely on a woman's terms. I had a real revelation when I was in my very early 20s with my grandmother. I dedicate the book to her, actually. She was raised in a time and place where she had almost no agency. She was in a prison camp in World War II and then was stuck there as a refugee for 13 years after the war because she had nowhere to go. You know, she was effectively forcibly married to my grandfather, who was an incredible man, but she had to be taken care of. She was 15 at the time. He was 10 years older. I mean, this was less than 100 years ago. Okay. So this is not far off in history. This is recent enough that I have memory of my grandmother telling me these stories. Now, in my early 20s, she was in the kitchen with me, and it was right after my grandfather had died, and she just started sharing. She just started sharing things that she couldn't share while he was alive. And she turned to me and she said, Alana, she said, I love my daughters. My mom is one of them, of course. It worked out. She said, I love my daughters. She said, but had I had a choice, I wouldn't have had kids.
Right. I loved my daughter. Oh, okay. She didn't feel she had a choice. That was her designated role. Yeah.
It was her designated role.
Point well taken.
I just wanted to give women the option. Like motherhood, you know, and in my early 20s, people asked me, well, you know, when are you going to have a baby? As if that was a fait accompli.
Usually the person asking that is your mother.
True. It wasn't in my case, but you know, I just want women to have choice. Right. If they choose mother, awesome.
Me too. I've never tried to encourage a woman to be a mother. Now a lover, you know, being a lover is kind of good for everybody if there's some kind of balance there.
Yes,
boy, we are so running out of time, and I, you know, it's unbelievable. Well, there's so we could go on. I wish the show was a lot longer, and maybe we should have an extension to this because you do say some really positive things about relationships, including relationships between men and women, and how women are healed through relationships. So I think I'll just ask you to talk for a minute on that, and then we're going to have to close the show.
Absolutely. I mean, as human beings, all human beings are hardwired to be in connection with one another. And in psychology, we often say that we are broken in relationship from our early childhood, but then we are healed in relationship. And one of the messages that we've gotten as women in this patriarchal culture the patriarchal culture really values do it yourself, the individual, everything right. by yourself, for yourself all the time. And I can't tell you how often I hear this narrative of, I don't need a man. I can be by myself. I can do it myself. And the truth is absolutely you can. Of course you can. But let's not cut ourselves off from the beauty of connection, because the feminine truly thrives in connection. And when we have the balance between masculine and feminine in intimate partnership, that is some of the greatest foundation for our own personal growth. We can only take ourselves so far by ourselves. It's in relationship that we're able to just achieve astonishing growth. but also for ourselves, I guess sometimes it can be catastrophic. Sometimes you got to go through the breakdown before you can have the breakthrough, but hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful. I mean, what a great book, you know, how connecting to femininity energizes women, how the definition of success has to change. I wrote about some of these things in my book, Intuitive Intelligence, which is promoting intuition for everybody. But I want to just thank you for being on the show. There's so much more we could explore, and maybe we'll do it again. But for now, we have run out of time. And I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, thesatisfiedwoman.com, all one word, The Satisfied Woman. I encourage people to check it out and to check out your book, The Way of the Satisfied Woman. Now, for those who may have tuned into Pathways late today, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. Now, don't worry, you can play and or share this interview in its entirety whenever you want, via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Alana Cavaglia, author of The Way of the Satisfied Woman, Reclaiming Feminine Power. And I want to say thank you to all our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm. every Sunday morning at 8:30 USA Pacific time. Even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com. That's spelled DIVINATION.com, as well as Paulo's YouTube channel and other free podcast servers. Now, before I entirely close the show, remember that we're in the last few days of our Catalog of Connections year-end campaign, focusing on our community connections here at KBOO. You can donate by going to kboo.fm/give or by texting the letters KBOO to the number 44321. Our members make KBOO possible, so please make a contribution today. It's tax deductible, but more importantly, it feels good to be a contributor and not just a consumer. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for listening to volunteer-powered, community-supported KBOO. And this is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways, radio, and podcasts. And thanks again to Alana Cavaglia, and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways Conference.
Hi, I'm Dr. Demento. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
We know a KBOO membership is at the top of everyone's wish list this season. Give the gift of supporting